is Jalen Rose. I'm David Jacoby. We are Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, what is it that we do?
We give the people what they want.
Jalen, tell the people who is joining us on the program right now.
We have a legend joining the show today. Mr. Chuck D of Public Enemy, bars, activist, artist, social, politically conscious, has been the pulse of the culture for decades. It is our honor to have you on the show, legend. And since it's been approximately 30 days since the unfortunate death, murder of George Floyd by the knee of law enforcement, what do you feel like needs to be done in the pursuit of social and political change in our country?
Well, first of all, thanks for inviting me to the Jay and Jack show. I catch you guys on the other side of the television. It's different being a participant, so it's a trip for me out for a minute. But it's a reachable and a teachable moment to tell us that young energy should be encouraged to do leadership. And this should be a country that should be able to encourage young energy into leadership at a younger age, instead of the game where you got, you know, people looking at a bunch of 70 and 80 year old octa and septuagenarians running for the leadership of the nation. So I did think that in this teachable moment, it's about letting younger people know, and young adults know that when they do the schooling, or whenever they do the training in high school or college, or whatever they do in their trades or whatever, be encouraged to do that and go into leadership between 40 and 60 and then act upon their local areas. And that's where that immediate change got to happen, instead of falling for the beauty pageant of the presidential election, which I think, of course, needs full attention. But then you have older people in the country that could focus on that, as well as looking into, you know, making these changes while they were living in their local area. So I think out of this moment, since the, you know, the murder of George Floyd, it made you look at the area of policing not being that one track street. Now, it needs reform. And what does reform mean? Reform is to make sure you and your local have the authority as citizens to have them come in and to police the area, other than policing rent, you know, on property, and they look at you as being kind of like outsiders anyway as they're policing it. And the fact of the matter is that you deal with people. Policing means dealing with people, not handling people. You handle animals and things. So it's a long way before we get to that road of what should we do. But younger energy has the collective. When it's collective, it has the ability to have immediate change happen, especially local, in front of people's faces. That's my political
your leadership. Absolutely. Well, your leadership has been a catalyst for decades to allow those voices to have strength and then be able to use that strength to unite change. And so for the NBA and entertainers, at some point it's going to be, quote unquote, time to get back to work. Do you feel like NBA players going into a bubble and playing basketball creates a distraction from the social and political change that people are protesting in the street every day?
I think people need a distraction, but they also need to pay attention. And if they pay attention and also are able to give people some breathing room in society, that's what life is about. You know, put it in the work first, and you're all over the place. So it's a welcome distraction. I think the difference is in athletics and entertainment, you have mentors directly guiding athletes into howling to gel into society. And I think in entertainment, in music, and in film, you don't have that. And I think, you know, the ability of coaches and agents, general managers who have the concern about, you know, I guess the athlete especially when they tell them they better pay attention to their to society. It's one thing, but in entertainment, I think they pull the game to try to make extend teenage years to 35. And I'm thinking, anytime you do that, man, you have a problem, man. It's like you gotta 25 years old, you should be encouraged. Like, yeah, you have a great time, but you are a leader. And whenever you don't have that, you have a lot of people looking at 70 and 80 year olds to run the country. And that's crazy, man. I believe in a mandatory retirement age, and serious administration is 65, man. And then it's a wrap. But if you don't adhere people in their 40s to their 60s, that they're leaders too, not only leaders of their locale, but on a bigger scope, then you're going to have these problems, man. You're going to have a problem when somebody feels that they can't have jurisdiction over their locale. So I think of the athletes, they have older people around them all the time that's telling them about the life and the game. And it behooves them to listen to them. And so I think they're a step ahead to where a lot of entertainers are. Now entertainers are listening directly to a lot of people that they know in the streets that know that they're in a case of emergency and urgency. And people like Steven Jackson and Bun B, you know, those two guys who grew up in Port Arthur, Texas, and they directly answer to this. One, because Steven Jackson relationship with George Floyd, but then that was the catalyst that galvanized this energy anyway coming from the streets. So that's when people looked at entertainers as saying that take the first step into some kind of movement. And it came through a bad door, unfortunately, but it ended up, or it's happening, that movement is happening because people say, look, if anything, I got to look at myself to make change. And that's where that young energy is prevalent.
Well, you mentioned sort of younger NBA athletes listening to older people. And what advice would you give them? Like, if they're going into this bubble and they don't want, they're playing the game to distract society from the fight against social injustice, what direct advice would you give these NBA players on how they can use this bubble, this platform, to advance the fight against social injustice?
Organizations are always good. Collectives are great. And there's always an organizational collective full of aging people trying to find young energy, and everything ain't gonna be popular. You know, you don't need pop stars to run, you know, your neighborhood. You know, you got administrators that train for that. And yeah, it could be looked upon as being boring and not exciting, but you know, not everybody is cut out to be exciting or entertaining, athlete, you know, whatever, and outdoor. Right. So you gotta pay attention to those details that make us, you know, live out every day. Give them more props. There's people that's in the community every day doing their ugly work, and they rolling up those sleeves. So commending them, and also knowing that that's a path for anybody to take if they put in the work, is a good thing.
One of the things I think that has been a catalyst for white kids carrying Black Lives Matter signs and appreciating and respecting Black lives, I think a couple, were rap music and entertainment. And now that I believe those things have gone mainstream, it's given a level of appreciation to that generation that you talked about that wants to see change. But there's always been a word that's kind of been, I guess, divisive on all sides. What do you think about the use of the N-word in pop culture?
Well, I did a song called STD, and I think you said similar. It's a word that's been passed back from slavery. It's a slavery transmitted disease. And, you can't get rid of a word, but you should understand its context. And that's what we try to tell people, that use word, text of the word, of the N word, has magnitude that you can't take lightly. It is such a word. But if you just can't throw it around frivolously. So that's something, and people should be watchful when they use the word. It's nitroglycerin when you really look into it. Nitroglycerin has its purposes, but also can blow you up at the same time. So that's what the N word is. And, in this state of time right now, it is you know, a lot of people, even young people right now, are starting to look at it as being inappropriate. Although, in context, the treatment of Black people as such is going right back into the use of the word in a appropriate manner.
That's a really good point. Chuck, I want to thank you so much for joining us on the television segment. Everyone watching this, don't forget exclusive content with Chuck D on the Jalen and Jacoby podcast. We have an update on Giannis Antetokounmpo. We'll give you that in just 2 minutes. Stay tuned to Jalen and Jacoby.
Jalen and Jacoby is presented by Modelo, brewed for those with a fighting spirit, part of Happy Hour.
Scotty and Mike, Kobe and Shaq, LeBron and Wade, Jalen and Jacoby, just a few legendary duos that are undeniably the real deal. Of course, Jalen and Jacoby is not quite yet a legendary duo, but we're working that every single day, and we appreciate your help by listening to this podcast. But there's one duo I haven't mentioned yet. You can draft a State Farm agent to your team and get help combining the real ultimate duo, home and auto insurance. When you want the real deal, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
We're all living in a time of high stress and anxiety. And while there are many ways people have found solace and maintained sanity during this time, going for brief walks, hikes, and runs outside, with the proper social distancing precautions, of course, has been a great outlet. So, if that's how you're choosing to get away from things for a bit, then Allbirds has something that might help. Introducing the Tree Dasher from Allbirds, the world's first performance running shoe made from premium natural materials that are engineered to perform. FSC-certified eucalyptus fiber uppers and ZQ-certified merino wool deliver superior comfort and flexibility. And the proprietary sugarcane-derived sweet foam soles have been reworked into a dual-density midsole optimized for cushioning, energy return, and stability. Allbirds also printed the Dasher's carbon footprint right on the shoe, so you know its impact on the planet. They've made the environment a stakeholder in their business. Because when the planet wins, we all win. With the new Allbirds Tree Dasher, feel confident knowing that you can run hard and tread light on the planet. Find your pair at Allbirds.com today.
All right. All right. We have exclusive podcast content with none other than Chuck D. Chuck, we have a very simple question for you. What is up with your New York Knicks? We got Spike Lee. They're kicking them off the elevator. We're dragging Oakley out of MSG. What is going on with your Knicks?
I got to take the vernacular. I stay up with them with my man CP and JLs. They do Knick Fan TV. And I always, you know, clue into them. So with the Knicks, I think, you know, when you go into New York, Jay was there for a little bit. It's a microwave. So I just think if you are a head, you know, souped up draft pick, you go into New York, you know, there's a lot of shaking to the lights. There's no city like it. And I just think it melts a lot of people coming in. So you need somebody that knows how to pick the right dynamic, the right personality, the right timber, or the right perseverance that's in a young person to come in that city and work. And then I think you always need a mixture of veterans and also a mixture of cats that might have got cut 5 times in their life. They come in New York with a little bit of, you know, scar tissue on their sleeve. So that combination, I think, happened for the Knicks in the past, and it worked. People like Pat Riley, Van Gundy had squads that just had a mixture of cats that you just didn't come in there with no, you know, superstar on your forehead and expected to win. Knicks been through that. New York's a different place, man.
Now, as a musician, I'm sure you draw inspiration from many different places, not just other musicians, but the culture itself. And is it true that you drew inspiration from Marv Albert? If it is, how so?
Oh, yeah, his voice and the speed of his voice. And it really wasn't so much the Knick games I grew up with, but if you heard his radio broadcast during the Rangers, he was like an MC, man. So, Marv's Ranger broadcast on WNBC were like unparalleled, man, because, you know, he just kept rapping it off. I mean, damn, they're almost like a little bit of an auctioneer too, but he had different bass, you know, he had different inflections, man. He got a lot of his style off of Marty Glickman, but also enhanced upon it. And the fact that he's announcing games right now and the same dude I grew up to, it's, you know, I'm 60 years old, man. So to grow up with a dude and still see him covering NBA games right now is mind-boggling.
So in the Jalen and Jacoby studio, we always put images behind us of people that we idolize, we want to celebrate, and we need a picture of you back there. But we had sort of a picture, not of you, but a picture by you back there. Do you remember what I'm talking about?
The one I drew of Jalen's dad, Jimmy Walker, right?
Exactly. Yeah, so tell us the story.
Yeah, back in the 70s, I used to, you know, do caricatures of my favorite athletes. And I got a New York State Award for rendering and art and New York Tech Awards that they used to give out. So I was a phenom, and all my illustrations would be influenced from what they did in the Daily News. So Jimmy Walker was one of those players, a guard from Providence, you know, played on the Pistons. And he's one of those players. I drew about 400 of them. And then recently I found, you know, a collection of them when I was a kid. My mom gave it to me. Say, oh, yeah, he was up in the attic. And then so I start peeling them off. I sent, I think I showed Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. He was my first one. And when I found out that Jimmy Walker and Jalen Rose were father-son, then I sent one to Jalen. And I sent one of Lou Hudson to Lou Hudson's daughter when Lou Hudson passed. So, I mean, these are actually originally from my hand when I was 14, 15, and 16 years old. And baseball players, a lot of them baseball players, too.
Well, I know Jalen would appreciate that. He actually dropped off of the stream. You know how it is during the quarantine. Tech problems everywhere. Only got a couple more questions for you. You know,
these are interesting times. It's the Zoom era.
It is the Zoom era. What have you been doing during the quarantine? How's the quarantine changed your life?
I'm an explosive, creative person anyway. So I released an album in April called Loud Is Not Enough. With it's like the sound system of Public Enemy. It's DJ Lord and MC Jahi. And then Public Enemy has an album coming out on my 60th birthday, August 1st, called Nothing's Quick in the Desert. It's like a kind of revisit to a lot of different things. And we have a song out right now called State of the Union, which is an answer to 45, because in ways he's inappropriate. Well, the song has inappropriate language in the hook that fits the inappropriate POTUS. So, and my art has exploded. So my art has exploded. I do a lot of pieces per day, and I've revisited my political cartooning. And those just are two of the top things I do, as well as running my record label, Spit Slam Records, with my partner C-Doc, and also Rap Station. We have a 10-station rap station, hip-hop station, internetwork that breaks it down to 10 areas. So my plate is full. I just like to, you know, not be zoomed down and stuck to this seat, because it's the worst thing. So I got a hoop over there and I jump out of the seat, because being sedentary is the worst thing ever, man. Everybody just feels that they got you. Oh, I know where you at. I know where you better be and all that. And they never know, but yeah, you have obligations to do. So there's advantages in the Zoom era and there's disadvantages.
Absolutely. Now, we've seen sort of the rise to the forefront of mainstream, the Black Lives Matter movement, and we've seen some change in regards to, you know, charges being brought against officers. But what do you think should be some sort of benchmarks? What are some things that you think the movement should be asking for that they could realistically make happen and create real change moving forward?
Well, number one change that I said those on the TV broadcast is, like, you got to look at your local. And voting makes you really seriously look at local. And that same judge that's going to lock you up, you got a say-so on who this person is. A lot of times these people do their thing anonymously. And what Young Energy could do is hold these things accountable. And they don't feel that they have any voice. So what they're doing is that they're making changes locally. They're stepping right to the forefront. And that's telling local authorities, like, listen, we are you and you are us. So don't think you have authority where you can go ahead and do things, you know, unmonitored, unaccountable, and unscathed. You have to be accountable. And like I said earlier on the TV broadcast, there's a difference in, you know, when you talk about policing, policing is, should be about dealing with people, not handling people. You handle animals and things like that, plants and stuff like that. Dealing with people means that, you know, we live here together. So I think that's the first step in the area of reform. And then the community has to have control over its economics, its enforcement, its education, its environment. And if it doesn't, it's a plantation coming from control from anywhere else. So you want to alleviate that.
I don't know if you followed the saga of Bubba Wallace, but there was his team found a noose in his garage. The FBI investigated and they found that there was not a hate crime because the noose was previously in the garage from months earlier. NASCAR just released an image of the noose. NASCAR released an image of the noose, and it is certainly a noose. And I've seen a lot of ropes being used to pull down garage doors, and I've never seen one tied like this. What does this saga tell you about racism in America and NASCAR in particular?
Well, you want to remove the noose as being the logo of the United, the unofficial logo of the United States of America. What they call it? Alternative uniforms. So yeah, it's kind of like the alternative logo of the USA. So we want to alleviate and eliminate that and just totally eradicate and annihilate that. But it's symbolic. And a lot of people want to hold on to the symbol. So these movements and these changes are movements against that symbol, you know.
Well, I think another symbol like that is the symbol of the Confederate flag, which is also sort of like bled into the world of sports because there's a running back in Mississippi State that will refuse to play until the Mississippi State flag is changed. Do you think young athletes demanding things like this can actually get the change that they're asking for?
Yes. I mean, the Confederate flag, wasn't they the losing squad to the Union?
Yes.
That's like that. Yes. That's like those old consolation games they used to have in the NCAAs. It's like you find out that the consolation game really, you know, like, what are we doing? You know, so same thing with the Confederate flag. It's like, you know, well, why is it even there? And why is it about this statue? You're part of the losing squad in a nation that's supposed to go forward against what that other situation preached, you know, against. So these symbols still hang around because people have a sentiment, you know, they have a history that's sentimental to a time that needs no sentiment at all, other than like eradicated. That's what you call a scab, bad blood. Get it on out your system. That's why people say, all right, you talk about changing the system, but you still got this thing glaring because you don't notice it. But, you know, here it is right here now. So.
Well, it's been such an honor to do this, and it's even better that Jalen's not here. I'm so happy Jalen's not here. You know what I mean? It's so nice. He's going to be so mad. He's going to be so mad that he missed the second half of the Chuck D interview. We're going to have you back. We're going to have you back.
Yeah, always bring me back. You know, like I listen to sports radio, NBA radio with Termini and Eddie Johnson a lot. They have me cracking up because you're back, huh, Jay? I listen to those guys. I was telling Jack, I said, Flavor Flav is my partner in Public Enemy, so you got to know I got patience.
Correct. And we thank you for that for all of those decades.
I got more patience than money.
Proper introduction to everybody who's really on the show. Okay, right now, as we deal with a political and social unrest in our country after the murder of George Floyd and Ahmaud Arbery, Breonna Taylor, and Eric Garner. The list goes on and on and on. This gentleman not only has delivered classic records and albums and singles and so many plaques and all of that great stage shows, but also political leader and one of the strongest voices in the history of the hip hop culture. Mr. Chuck D is on the show, and I would love to ask you, how do we pay it forward and try to break some of the chains of systematic racism?
Well, you got to let young adults know that they're powerful and that they're leaders too. And I just think sometimes when you prepare and you let young adults do their thing, and they got the great roadmap to do their thing, I think it's important for older people to like kind of like not sit out, but stay out of their way when they see the path and they know the right way, the blueprint or where to go. And then we're counsel, we coach, we're advisors, consigliers, you know. That's what makes that movement go strong. I mean, you guys know it in sports. You don't see a bunch of 50-year-old ball players on the court while young people will keep looking at them. They have their time and everybody knows their lane. But in society, it's like, it's crazy. We looking at you. I mean, if you want to look at the beauty pageant of the presidential election to see Trump at 75, Biden 78, and Bernie Sanders had great ideas, but he's 79. What does that tell somebody 24? You're not telling them nothing about no future. And do the math, man. The math is real, man. You only play, if you that old, you only playing around with 10, 15 years the most. So that's not really answering no question for somebody who's 25 years old trying to buy their first house. It's really ridiculous when a young person is 25 years old and don't think that they can ever get their own home until they 48 or 49. That's totally contradictory to life itself, man. And that's especially in the area where they have the youngest kids. So if you have banks playing games, you got politics playing games, and then you got old people in positions where young people can't even figure out how to lead, you got what you call a bad path, man, for the whole scenario. So you got to clear the way for young energy and leadership, and you got to train them the importance of it young. And you guys, like I said, you guys know in sports, man, you see some talent out there 10 years old and 12 years old, and the first thing everybody starts running to them about how they could train or mentor or coach them into some kind of organized setting. Well, why is that different in regular life? You know, even when the area of musicianship, you know, somebody who has the ability to play something, a musician's going to come in and hone their chops. I mean, that's how it was when musicians were collective. And that's one of the things that hip hop got away from, the collective. When you have a collective, you got a lot of different parts that learn how to work together and they hone their skills. But to hone their skills best, you got to have somebody who's able to mentor them in and show them the shortcut, the dynamic to reaching their final goal instead of meandering and being lost, which is cool sometimes too, but teaching is always the greatest thing. And you teach young people how to do their own path.
And we know today's athlete and entertainer stands on the shoulders of giants. And somebody that I know you're really fond of, as I am, is Muhammad Ali. And to see where we have progressed in 2020 as a society and via sports, but yet have so far to go. Can you acknowledge to our audience Muhammad Ali's impact on the culture?
Yeah, you're talking to a person that remembered that when I first saw this man, we still called him Cassius Clay. And when we called him Cassius Clay, and then he all of a sudden changed his name, we thought that was the reason they kicked him out of boxing. You know, it's like, oh, he changed his name to Muhammad Ali, so they kicked him out of boxing, and now they're going to lock him up because he don't want to go to Vietnam, too. So we have, as young people, and like I said, I was 7, 8 years old, man, so it wasn't like I was an infant. We were immediately impacted by the fact that he spoke out. And then he understand this, too. He was in a solo man sport, so he boldly was out there by himself as a boxer, one-on-one, mano-a-mano, but boldly took that opportunity to speak out when he won. He's the first guy to grab the mic. Jim Brown and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who we thought they stopped dunking once he changed his name. He's like, you know, back then when I was out, you know, that was the radical change. Athletes were changing their names. And that was such a big problem for the announcers, man. I remember the announcers, they didn't even want to say the whole Kareem Abdul-Jabbar And matter of fact, the Bucks just put Jabbar on the back, and he had to make a point like, no, it's Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. So all these people were able to make changes at the same time. And Muhammad Ali, he was the ventricle to open that up, to said, listen, but he was a solo man in a solo sport. So people like Jim Brown and other people, they were team players, and then the team organization structure. So it might have been a little curtailing at that particular time. Jim Brown just said, you know what? I'm going to be my own voice. I'm just going to leave the NFL and be my own guy. You know, so that was the thing we found out as young people, always looking at athletes. But let me tell you this much. I wanted to go to college because Lou Alcindor went to UCLA. I ain't know what – I'm growing up in New York. I don't even know what UCLA mean. But the fact that he went to UCLA, I'm like, I want to go to college too. And, you know, it's a trip that I'm so involved with these colleges too, man. But I wanted to go because of Lou Alcindor went to UCLA. And then he changed his name after he graduated. So I'm, you know, as a kid, you're getting all kinds of like, oh, maybe that's the reason why, you know, he went to college so he could change his name. So I don't know.
One last thing before we let you get out of here. We appreciate your time and your patience. One of our brothers, Laz, represents Detroit, Dr. Khan.
Yes,
I appreciate how you put on for my brother and represents his bars. So can you just talk about watching his ascension in the game and the sacrifices that you know that he's made throughout this pandemic?
Yeah, Lazarus is the MCMD. He's on the front lines for real. Out of Detroit, you know, by way of Pakistani parents, he's faced racism from all different angles coming up and also growing up in the D. And he come up honing his chops and his skill, the D12 guys, you know, the Royce the 5'9s, the M&Ms, all that era. And, you know, just like, you know, Bill Clinton, when he was in president, he could pull up that saxophone. Why can't a MD be an MC on the side? Because art, everybody got art in them.
So
it's
dope.
About getting the art out of them and mentorship. And now we're at a time where he's used his skill as being a teachable moment and a reachable time. So yeah, he's on the front line. So he's here to demyth a lot of things out there in the world with his rhymes. And plus he spits. I mean, like crazy. Like Wu-Tang had him on tour.
Bars!
I tell you, man. Right.
He bars, was on there with Ghostface. So, they was spitting.
Laz is the real deal. And on Rap Station, you know, we broke it, you know, his records out and continued to play his music as well as others. And yeah, the D is so underrated. I did a documentary voiceover with my man Champ Town about all the MCs and the D. My family comes up out of the D, you know, 7 Mile and Orleans at the Kendra and all that stuff. So Detroit was the first city I was amazed at in visiting coming out of New York. I couldn't believe it. I just saw like, you know, I was like, man, 17-year-old girls driving new cars. I was, you know, they got nice lawns. I was bugging out. I was like, they got nice lawns, man, where you step out.
Mailboxes, alleys.
Yeah. Yo, I mean, I'm from Long Island. So I saw a whole city that was like Long Island. And it was like, and you know, black people doing things. And my grandfather, man, he would drive for Ford and then drive for GM almost on moonlight on the same shift. So, you know, he would have Cadillacs, man, in 1958 and be stopped by cops on 8 Mile back in like, you know, like in 58. So getting his stories and my cousin, I got to give my cousin a shout out, Crawford Johnson. And he played for Illinois football back in the early 90s. And I got to give you this story, Jack and Jay. I wore Chicago Bulls jersey in the Bring the Noise video with Anthrax because I lost a bet. Knicks got beat by the Bulls, and my homegirl in Chicago said, you know, boom, if we lose, I'm going to have to wear Bulls. Now, everybody know I'm a Knicks fan, but, you know, my heart, you know, on the outside of that is Pistons all the way. So my cousin Crawford Johnson gave me the screw face when I wore the Bulls jersey and the Bring the Noise video, and I said, cuz, I lost the bet, man. I lost the bet. And, you know, because he even said, yo, man, I had to play at, you know, Illinois, man, football, man. But I saw you with that Bulls jersey, cuz. What's up with that? So, yeah, man. You see me with the Pistons, the D, you know, Sally Rodman, and especially Zeke and all those guys, man. And Dumars, they're big supporters. And last story, I said, they're all the talk of The Last Dance looking at Dennis Rodman. You know, I had Dennis Rodman and Flavor Flav in the same room, in a locker room. Rodman visited us, and Rodman was the voice of reason.
That's fair. I'm pretty sure you have a lot of visuals of going to get Flav for shows, like MJ had to go get Rodman for practice.
Yeah, because that was a short period of time. What was that, 3 or 4 years? I've been doing it 33 and a third years with Flav. Love him to death, man. But this is, you know, in music, you know, it goes on and on. We don't have retirements, you know. Frank Sinatra is doing it when he's 96 years old. I mean, so, you know, you stay to your craft. I'm an artist. I'm a musician. That's what we do. We pop up once in a while. We stay in our lane. We all around the world all the time and try to get in where we fit in. So, yeah, when the season opens up, when we do our thing of concerts and performances, trust me, we have our Rodman rules for Flavor Flav.
I imagine. Well, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate you being so patient. Appreciate everything you've done, not just in the last month for this movement, but for the last 40 years, man.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I'll watch you guys from the other side of the tube like I do and stay in my OG lane.
Thanks a lot. Love and appreciate you.
Likewise. Take care. Thank you. Peace.
Thanks so much for the time, Chuck, man. Really appreciate it.
Hello, this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island, and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with Geico? We could save money, and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. I want to thank Chuck D for coming through. You can get exclusive content with Chuck D on our podcast. Jalen, the Bubba Wallace news saga continues. Bubba Wallace's team found a noose hanging in his garage, and then the FBI investigated it as a hate crime. They determined it was not a hate crime because the noose had been there since October. Now, the NASCAR has released an image of the noose, which is very much a noose. Jalen, what does this image tell you?
I don't know why they don't consider it a crime, but either way, it's still hate. And yes, it probably wasn't there specifically for Bubba Wallace because allegedly we didn't know what garage he was going to be in, but it doesn't make it better that it's been there for a year. But then they try to spin it as, oh, this is just how they tied the knot as they pulled down the garage. And so clearly other people have seen it over that period of time. And it doesn't make it even better that it was 2019 or 1959 for anybody to have to show up to work and see a noose readily available.
I think the FBI is right. This was not specifically a hate crime against Bubba Wallace. I think it's actually worse. I think this is a hate crime against all black people that has been seen over and over again by people since October 2019. And it took this long for someone to speak up and say something. I've seen a lot of ropes used to pull down garage doors. You've seen the tennis ball on the end of them. Sometimes there's a knot at the end of them. I have never, ever, ever seen a noose. And for someone to take the time to tie this noose and affix it to that garage in that place is a hate crime and is an act of bigotry and racism. There's no other way to it. Jalen, moving on to the NBA, they're going to return to play in Orlando, and Coach Bud of the Bucks said that Giannis is 100% healthy, and that's going to give them a huge advantage. Are they your favorites to come out of the East?
I don't want to pick against Giannis, my MVP from this year, because he showed me that he could do outstanding things these last couple of years, leading the Bucks to a number one seed. But in the shotgun scenario, in a bubble in Orlando, I'm going with the squad in the East that has at least four players that could get me 20 points constantly if they needed to. And that's the Boston Celtics with Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Kemba Walker, and Gordon Hayward. I just think as offenses break down, the game is going to be a lot more sloppy. It's going to be less passing. It's going to be a lot more guys just trying to get their shots off the dribble. And I think the Boston Celtics have a myriad of guys that can not only defend but get their own shots. And that's going to give them an advantage in the East, in particular against the Bucks.
Interesting. Well, Jalen, today is the day that we finally learned it was Vince Carter's last year. He will not return to the NBA. We will celebrate the career of Vince Carter in just 2 minutes. Stick around.
Jalen and Jacoby is presented by Modelo, brewed for those with a fighting spirit, part of Happy Hour.
Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, we all kind of knew it, but now we officially know it. Vince Carter has announced his retirement. What are some of your favorite memories from Vince's career?
A terrific athlete that was more than a dunker, Jacoby. Could jump off of 1 foot, could jump off of 2 feet. Think about it. Michael Jordan could do both. Not many people could do both. Backwards dunks, 360 dunks, arm hanging in the rim dunks, between the legs. And how about 1998, Market Square Arena? He drives the left wing past Chris Mullin, double pumps backwards over Rick Smith, the Duncan Dutchman. I remember going into the locker room at halftime like, that guy going to be something special. Congratulations, Sergeant Vincent Lamont Carter.
Congratulations, Vince Carter. Want to thank Chuck D for coming through. And I want to remind you to listen to our podcast where we always have exclusive content. We'll be back on Monday on ESPN at 4 p.m.
Dan Levitard and Holly Crutchfield. Righteous vibing and weaving so that the good get even.
We always say we give the people what they want. Part of that is the podcast exclusive content. I want to thank Chuck D for not just doing the TV show, but also for doing the podcast with and without Jalen Rose because we had some tech problems. But Jalen, we don't have a show tomorrow. So I need to talk about this today. Do you remember the last show I said, you know what the Knicks do? They make big name hires. That's what the New York Knicks do. They throw big names at things. Well, they hired a big name in the industry, a gentleman by the name of William Wesley, better known as Worldwide West, a name that Jalen Rose gave him, has been hired by the Knicks. And Jalen, I think this is really good. I think with Leon Rose and Worldwide West there, what that can do is that can be a counterbalance to the stink. They can be the perfume to the stink that James Dolan brings to that franchise and that building. That's what they can be. They, you know what? If you fart in the car, what they can be is they can be the window going down. They can be the little tree hanging from the rearview mirror to the proverbial fart in the car that is James Dolan ownership of the Knicks. Do you think Worldwide Wesley and Leon Rose and the rest of the front office can usher the Knicks back to winning basketball games?
We need Reg DeLege to push. I farted in the studio. Especially with you using that example. Here's what I'll say. The New York Knickerbockers are doing a terrific job of covering the bases. And that's really important. Leon Rose talked about building his situation in two phases and hoped to have a coach in tow, clearly by the draft. Retaining my brother from another mother, Scott Perry, as I acknowledged on this show, that would happen especially in the previous transition. When Steve Mills left, 99.9% of the media just assumed Scott Perry was out.
When I heard the news.
They're going to go after so many other people. Scott Perry's just out. J&J supporters, this may sound like breaking news. I told you, I stood in front of William Wesley, and he told me in particular, if it goes down, we keeping Scott P. That's exactly what he told me. That's exactly what I told you. And so now they make it formal. They bring Wes into the fold. And again, we've been doing this for a long time, multimedia space. But it is dope when you listening to Hip Hop Records and Jay-Z is referencing a nickname you made up, or you watching a ticker on ESPN and they just had to put Worldwide Wes at the bottom because that's like
people
his
wouldn't
moniker.
Know. People wouldn't know if you put William Wesley. If you put William Wesley there, people would be like, "Who?" You put Worldwide Wes, like, "Oh, Worldwide Wes." Worldwide Wes was he was the Phantom. He was something that you heard about that you never saw. He was like the Loch Ness monster of the sports industry until I'd say like the last 10 years. Like you just heard about Worldwide Wes, but now Worldwide Wes.
So has, Jacoby, we gonna grab face to the nephew. Name. We gonna be hitting a lot of games. My boy Steve Stout there. Helping with the business and the marketing. We're going to be going to a lot of games.
If you, but they love hiring names. Steve Stout, Worldwide West, Leon Rose. That's why I think they're going to go Jason Kidd. I think so. I think they'd be like, which coach is the most famous? Like, oh, Jason Kidd's the most famous? Cool. We'll take him. That's what they're going to do. That's what they're going to do. And then they're going to draft LaMelo Ball. And then you know what? I'm a split season tickets with somebody. I don't have.
There you go.
I don't have season ticket money.
That's a lot for you. You start thinking about it. For you.
Yeah,
it's that's like, a lot for you. A die easy fan.
I can with split season tickets with like two other friends. 41 home games. Split three ways. It's about 14 games.
5 games.
I can do that. Wow. I can do that. I can do that. I can do that. I find myself in about 5 or 6. I could commit. Oh, I could commit to 12 games this season, 12 nights going over to MSG, having a couple beverages first at my local bars around Herald Square, and then going into the game, watching the Knicks lose, buying a Brian cotton candy for my son, buying a pretzel for my son, asking if he wants a Knicks T-shirt or a jersey. You know what he said? We walked past, you know, that big, you know there, that the big store they got, I forgot what it's called, like right before you walk in, they had all the Knicks team stuff. I was like, Q, what do you want? You want a shirt? You want a hat? You want basketball? You want a jersey? Anything you want? He goes, no, I'm good. I'm good. That's what the Knicks are at right now.
They're like 0-9 since I've been coming to games this year.
He's like, I'm good. I'm fine. I don't know. I don't need a hat.
He's like, hey, Dad, number 23 on the other team, can you give me his jersey instead?
Yeah, exactly. He got mad at Mitchell Robinson because Mitchell Robinson goaltended twice. He's like, does this guy know the rules? This little doesn't know. I'm like, Q. That's actually the most valuable player in the franchise right now.
he was really like, oh my goodness. I don't want none of this paraphernalia. This is going to be your problem.
We have an announcement of a new versus battle. Freddy versus Jason. I'm sorry, say that again. I couldn't hear you say it again. I think everyone tries to do the Jada Kiss sound, but no one can do the Jada Kiss sound except for Jada. Here's my impersonation. I can't do it.
You got a raspy voice, first off.
Yeah, I know. No one can match it. No one can do it. But Freddy versus Jason, Jason versus Fabulous, the new versus battle. Jalen, what do you think of this one?
First off, shout to Swiss Beats. He deserved his Webby. His versus battle's been dope. Alicia Keys, John Legend, classic. I can't front Jacoby. That tequila from the Last Dance.
Oh, you're not supposed to tell people about that. Okay.
I had that bottle, and I didn't open it. And then I was with you, and you let me taste it. And I was like, I'm going to figure a day that this is going to be the time to pop this bottle.
Pop that one open.
It was a night of that Alicia Keys, John Legend versus. I was like, okay.
On that.
No question. And so for this Monday, Jada Kiss versus Fab, I have one word that ties these two gentlemen together, and it is bars!
Oh, where do I like to go?
Bars!
Where do they have most golden tees?
Bars!
If you're locked up, you're probably behind.
Bars!
What's the name of the code that you scan items with on self-checkout?
Bars!
You know what I really love? Granola.
They should be essential business. The first name is Chris. The last name is Bars.
Bars. Oh, man. Really excited for that one on Monday. Again, thank you to Chuck D for coming through. And I want to really thank Jalen Rose's Internet Connection for going down.
Can I say one more thing about the pod? You know what?
No, you can't. You know what? You can't say anything else about the pod. No, you can't say anything. No, when I start wrapping up like that,
It'd be dope if we could get Jada or Fab to come on the pod on Monday. We got to work on that. Give us a shout. Let us know, anybody that's been down since day one, how we've been putting it down during the quarantine. We take pride. Dame Lillard, DeAndre Hopkins, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's been through.
Killer Mike. LL.
Came through and represent Big Snoop Dogg. And trust me, when we have some technical difficulty, Snoop kept himself entertained. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he filled the time. He wasn't
Ladies
worried.
Ladies love Cool James gave us exclusive pod content. And Uncle Chuck D as well. So we appreciate the support.
We'll be back on Monday. Why is that, Jalen Rose?
We're not done. We're not done.
Geico knows there are many reasons why you ride. From the thrill of the revving engine and pure adrenaline of flying down the highway to the confidence of knowing that Geico always has your back with 24/7 access to claims service. But Ari Snyder has one reason in particular.
I have extremely large upper arms. They won't even fit into most shirts. Thankfully, biking really embraces vest culture, so I feel accepted.
Geico Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.